Oh, thank you. Thank you. What's going on, guys? Hey, it's Steve Oatley. It is 8 o'clock Eastern Time. We are going to be making a live late show today because we are having internet issues here at the house. I don't know if it's because everybody's logged in trying to do their schoolwork in our town, whatever the case may be, but we had some internet issues and we were unable to connect for the majority of the day, so we're working on hotspots and all that, and I didn't want to take the chance of trying to stream to a hotspot. If you guys are watching this on Facebook, please go ahead and share it out to different groups. If you're watching on a, how bad is it? Is it super choppy or? I hope it's not so bad, but we'll see. I'm going to try one more thing here and see. This is just going to screw up the sound for the rest of the show. Hold on. Bear with me a moment. Always got to. All right. Let's see if. How is the sound now? Let's see if it's any better now. Let me know if it's any better now. Because it should be. But. Sounds like a 20-year-old CD. That's not good. Like I said, internet issues. It's still bad, even now. Okay. So if it's good now, it just means that I'm not going to have the call-in show. So, well, it will be call-in. You guys are just going to have to make do. So let me see. I don't know. Let me double-check and make sure. Let me... Guys, can you... Type in the chat if you can hear this commercial. It's what I was going to play anyway. They're my sponsor for the month. Let me know if you guys could hear it. All right. Well, I could see that you guys can't see that. So, of course, there's always sound issues. Whatever. So... Anyway, I'll just do the show. My sponsor this month is Ascend TMS. They're an awesome sponsor. I'll post the video in post-editing. I'll add it to the end in the beginning. But for right now, there's nothing I can do right now. But at any rate, my name is Steve. The show is called Freight Broker Live. When we don't have sound issues, we're an awesome show. At any rate, it is what it is. So what I do here at Freight Broker Live is I write about logistics, I write about freight, I write about trucking, I write about air freight, I write about everything that's in logistics. I've got a bunch of different writers too that write. So I have the website freightbrokerlive.com. If you've never been there, you're missing a lot because it's pretty awesome. But one of the things that kind of separates me from a lot of the other media outlets that are out there is I am also a active freight broker. I broker during the day and try to write, you know, in between it. At 2 o'clock every day, I make a show, yeah, we're doing that. If there's a little delay, guys, just deal with it, unless you just want me to end the show. So just deal with it. Close your eyes. You know, I can't deal with the delay for the most part. But today's show, we're going to talk about some of the news. It, you know, like I said, I had issues at 2 o'clock, so I had a lot of issues with. The internet, and I guess apparently I'm still having issues with the computer and all that good stuff, but whatever. There is nothing I could do about that at this point. So we're going to talk first about the state of trucking. So today is Tuesday, and even though it's been a long day, it's still Tuesday. And every Tuesday I put out my state of trucking infographic. So if any of you guys haven't seen it, it's pretty rad. And I'll show it to you, and we'll just get... We'll get into it a little bit. I got to find it because it's not appearing the way it's supposed to. Hold on one second. Of course, nothing's going. I'm not prepared. It's late. You know how it is when it's late. So the state of trucking infographic is one that I do every week. I'll put it up on the screen. So basically, I give a breakdown of logistics and freight and rates and market. And I do a nice fancy infographic, which you could see down here. And I'm gonna talk through it today. And then we'll talk about some news. And then we'll just open up. Actually, we're not going to have a call line today, so Well, this, who knows? I'll put my cell phone out there if people really, really want to call in. Because I could put you on the air that way. So the very first thing that I always start off with is a quote. That's what I like to start off with, especially right now. Freight sucks, man. Rates suck. The industry is kind of up and down. Tomorrow morning, I'm going on a radio show, a terrestrial radio show, to talk about the meat industry. And are we actually going to see a meat shortage? Because that's what people are calling now. I just read an article about wine and how there could be a wine shortage because a lot of these California wine producers, granted, they're in slower season right now, but they can't get the product that they need from China, i.e. the barrels and bottles and labels and boxes and all this stuff. So the supply chain is having a lasting, or the COVID, I mean, we're just starting to feel the crunch here where people manufacturing, some of the things that are considered essential are still not able to get the features and the functionality that they want. It's kind of crazy. So the quote of the week is, failure will never overtake me if my determination to succeed is strong enough. Now, I think that's a pretty good quote, and we're gonna experience some pretty rough times, guys. You know, in terms of trucking and transportation right now, we're going to experience some rough times. This is annoying me, the delay, because I see the delay too. So I'm going to do something. You guys just don't leave the show. Just bear with me for 1 minute, because I'm going to connect a different way without all the fancy software and try to get rid of that lag. So I'm going to just play the music, listen to that for a second. I know you can't hear me. Just bear with me. I'm trying to fix this so it's a little bit better for you, because I don't want, we'll just deal with this for now. But the delay should be gone, because the delay was annoying the crap out of me just by watching it. So anyway, my name is Steve. I'm going to start all over. My name is Steve. This show is called Freightbook Live. It is the one and only talk show where we talk about freight through and through. So I do every week I do state of trucking, the whole industry. Everybody knows what the state of trucking is right now. It sucks. You know, everybody knows that we have an overabundance of capacity, which is continuously driving rates down. We have just a really weird scenario that we've never been in before. And it's kind of interesting, because when you look at it from a technical standpoint, the way companies are choosing to deal with it in terms of brokers and logistics and software companies, I have an article out featuring some of the big or some brokers, both large and small, and tech companies and factoring, that have all worked and to make sure that their business is sustaining. That's an article I put out today, which was a very good article, in my opinion. It's got shared quite a bit already. So I think a lot of people actually like that article, which is cool, because that's kind of the plan. Is when I write something is to have people like it. Hold on. I'm just being a nitpicker here, trying to fix some stuff. It's annoying, man. It's annoying. I don't know why, it all froze up right after I started going live. Anyway, so in my state of trucking, I can't show you the infographic now, but the state of trucking that I do every single week, I do the quotes, and then I do some carrier and broker information that's provided by Carrier 411. It talks about how many carriers have filed for new authority and how many brokers have filed for new authority. You guys know, and I've been surprised by these numbers every week. Today is the first time in the 6 weeks that I've been monitoring these numbers that they actually went down, but they didn't go down a lot. So it seems that a lot of people are still making the leap to get in. We're still seeing an overabundance of capacity as more people are entering to look or thinking about entering the trucking field, which is kind of interesting a little bit. But at the same time, it's not really, because we don't need it. We don't want more trucks on the road, because it's just going to continue to drive the rates lower and lower and lower. And it's It is what it is. But according to Carrier 411, aspiring carriers and brokers are starting to listen to the market crunch as new applications are down for the first week in quite a while. In the past 7 days, 167 applications were filed for new brokerage authorities, which is down 19.8% from last week. Applications for carriers are down 14.6% for a total of 1,515 new property-carrying motor carrier authorities. So that is 1,515 people have filed for new motor carrier, new property carrier. So your competition, 1,500 people have filed to say, hey, I'm ready to take the leap. Now, again, this is just the people who did the filing, paid the $300. It's not people whose authority went active, but it's still... It's too many, and it's frightening because FMCSA seems to be doing everything they possibly can to just really screw it up, you know, in terms of adding more trucks and adding, removing essentially the restriction to have CDL testing personnel be in the trucks, and now they can be behind or they can be watching via camera while someone takes a CDL test. It's insane, really. Just all the stuff that they're doing to try to better the industry it's not really bettering the industry, in my opinion. It's just adding more capacity to an industry that already has too many trucks. We saw too many trucks all last year. Although everybody was shouting, oh, it's a driver shortage. We had far too many trucks. As a broker, I can say that because it was not hard for me to cover loads. And, that's a big issue. And a lot of people don't seem to, I don't know. It just seems like the stakeholders, which I hate saying that word because we are stakeholders, but some of the government officials and the big associations and all that, they don't feel that it's equal, that it's all the same people and that everybody has a voice and everybody, should really make a decision based on true facts. But that's my thing. Thomas Wood on Facebook said, are they trying to force automation? I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the whole automation argument. I am a fan of automation. I think it's a cool thing. Do I ever think it'll become mainstream enough to replace any drivers? Absolutely not. I've never thought that. And I'm not going to think that anytime soon because there's going to be so many things. Look at Tesla. Look at the Prius. That's the best example that I can give. Remember when Prius came out, whatever it was, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? I remember when they first came out and everyone's like, this is the wave of the future. We're going to have 90% electric vehicles within 2 years. They did tax deductions for electric vehicles. They did all this stuff and hyped up this electric, vehicle, and it didn't catch. So you still have Prius, you have Volt, you have all those, different electric vehicles. You have the Tesla, you have a couple of others. But it's not mainstream. They still mass produce, gas combustion engines and do all that stuff. And the same thing is going to happen with that same bubble is going to burst in terms of automation, in terms of trucking automation. Am I a fan of freight automation? Absolutely. Do I think there's ways to streamline the logistics process now? 100%. And I really hope that people are going to get it. This test of having everybody, all the brokers and carriers and office staff for carriers, everyone working remote is literally going to change logistics as we know it. The way that we go about doing everything on a logistics standpoint is done. Because think about it. 10 years ago, we couldn't do any of the stuff that we're doing now. Can you imagine if 10 years ago or 15 years ago, we had a company comes in and says, we're done, or it comes in, or the government comes in and says, hey, we're done. You guys all got to go home. You got to work from home. Can you imagine if that happened 15 years ago, what it would have done to the supply chain? There's no way. Ryan Johnson said, how many of those new people are just old people changing names? Companies bought off, change their name and make a new MC. Not all 1500 are new companies. Yeah, but okay, so 1,400 are brand new companies. I know, there's always one of you guys. but it's applications for new property carriers. That's the way it signifies. It's not name changes, it's complete applications. Someone's asking what my favorite hockey team is. Clearly, you could see the Bruins shit all behind me, so clearly it's the Bruins, but whatever. In terms of automation, I'm for it. In terms of freight automation, in terms of trucking automation, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. And most likely, it won't become mainstream in my kids' lifetime either. That's my personal opinion. If they haven't automated a train, why the hell are they going to automate a truck? It doesn't make any sense. It to me, it's just, it's kind of mind-blowing. Again, it's just people wasting money. But again, that's my opinion. So opinions are like a-holes. Everyone's got one, right? Diesel national average has dropped again this week to $2.50 per gallon for a national average. And that is a 4% drop from last week. Highest prices are still on the West Coast, which is now averaging $3.02. So it's diesel prices keep coming down. You could hear a car alarm going off somewhere in the neighborhood. That's awesome. Rates and trend lines. Now, I wish I could put this up on my screen, but like you guys know, I was having some issues. If everyone out there, I believe, can access DAT trend lines, unless they made it private now, which they may have done because their website was all different today. But DAT trend lines is basically, it was a free service. I don't know if it's free anymore, but it talked about load to truck volumes, and the load to truck volumes for this week continued to flop. As everybody knows, you guys are out there driving and running trucks and doing all that. So you understand the van load to truck volumes have dropped 44% this week. What it was down 46% last week. Which it's still interesting because March 2020 rates, or March 2020 year over year, so March 2020 versus March 2019, saw an 83% increase in load to truck volumes with a 0.7% increase in truck rates. Spot van rates are down 5.3%. And again, I don't necessarily think these numbers are correct, to be honest, because we see the rates. I saw posts all day long. I didn't cover any loads today myself. My office did. But I saw full truckloads moving for less than a dollar a mile. And it wasn't like, I mean, some of them were small brokers that were doing it. I can tell you in all honesty, I don't have a customer that I would ever work with that would ever try to sell a load for under a dollar a mile. I would never move it. A full truckload for under a dollar a mile? Absolutely not. There's no way. If you had a $1.10 or $1.20 that comes out of Florida, yeah. You know, maybe, because that's a market. As much as it sucks, you guys should be getting $3 coming in, and that way it evens itself out. Right Lane said, are we still live? Yeah, we are. John Steeder on Facebook said, infrastructure would need to literally $900 trillion in work before truck automation could ever be possible. Like you said, not going to happen in our lives. I know, it's just another thing for people to freak out about. And I get it, and I mean, the only thing that's going to happen is because you know how they're testing the drifting ones or whatever the hell that's called. I think Wilson Logistics is testing them where they basically have a driver that's driving the first one and the back one, the driver's sleeping or resting or he's off duty and he's not driving the truck and the computer is just basically using the information from the first truck to guide the second truck. That's going to be all and well until some bonehead realizes that that truck has a big logo of some tech company on it and decides to crash into it to try to get a paycheck. Because that's what's going to happen. If they do it now for beat-up old trucks that are driving in Louisiana, they're going to see those trucks as paychecks. And that's all it's going to take is one truck killing somebody, and then the automation kick is done, you know, in my opinion. I could be wrong about that, but again, it's my opinion, and this is my show, so whatever. Austin D. Allen on Facebook said, would it take all brokers to refuse to move freight for that cheap? Yeah, no, because it's still going to be lower. You know, I base it off the market, but I also have personal value. So if there's a load that, you know, under no circumstances will anybody ever be able to profit for under a dollar a mile, ever, for a full truckload. So anybody that's trying to sell, especially a broker, because you know they're getting paid over a dollar a mile because they're making a profit. So it does, especially a broker. But if I had a shipper right now that called and said, hey, I got a full truckload going from Charlotte, North Carolina to, you know, Dallas, that's 1,200 miles or whatever the hell the mileage is, 1,600 miles, and I'm paying $1,500, I'm going to say no. It's not happening. I'm not doing it as a broker, and I'll probably drop that customer. Or better yet, I'll just give them to a big 3PL. I don't care. I'm just not going to work with them anymore because that's principle. You know, it's a principle of it. But some of these other loads, like people that are complaining over $1.20 or $1.30 a mile in lanes where if that's what the market is paying, unfortunately, a broker has to do that. Otherwise, he's going to lose the business. I get the principle of saying, oh, no, we can't do it. Say no to cheap rate. I understand that. But as I say in every single show, everybody needs to understand that truckers also have the ability to change rates. I know a lot of people don't believe that you guys have any power, but the problem is that there's not going to be enough that actually decide to take a stand at a one time. You know, and that's a big thing what I say with trade organizations, and I'm always on the trade organization kick and the trucking industry kick, and how come we don't have an association that represents everybody, you know, all that same spiel I always give. This is kind of one of the reasons why that would be good. So trade organizations go out and send out emails or send out mass emails or start writing media and say, listen, this is unacceptable. If the OOIDA, you know, does that, it would get picked up in the press. At least one or two people would read it. You know, if OOIDA sent me a press release tomorrow and said, hey, listen, we want you to print about how cheap freight rates are being, you know, and that shippers need to remember that these guys have lives and families and shit that they have to maintain. And there's no way they're going to be able to do it if you're selling rates under a dollar. But they don't care. These trade organizations don't care about doing that. You got, you know, OIDA, who's done some pretty good stuff in this virus epidemic, like I say, or whatever, like you want to call it. They've done some okay stuff. But some of the things that are also frustrating to me is you have groups like the SBTC, and I know I'm always jumping on them. And that guy, I invite him, James, if you're watching, which you probably are, you're just never going to get on the show because you don't want to because, I'm censoring myself there. But this guy's got a platform, he's got everything, and then he makes arguments that brokers need to be unbonded. That's his argument. He runs a trucking trade group. The SBTC has filed an exemption for brokers that make under $15 million to basically exempt anybody that makes under $15 million from having a broker bond. Literally, the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, short of the Truck Stop Association trying to say that truckers don't deserve to be fed. But short of that one, this is pretty silly. You know, and then he wants to call me fake media and fake news, fake industry news, because I literally quoted his statement. And he says, well, he was doing that to try to get them to enforce illegal dispatchers. Cool. But the fact is, you still said, well, unless you're going to go after the illegal dispatchers, get rid of the bond, which is still stupid. This is someone that's a trade group that purportedly represents truckers. It's just silly, you know? So if anyone is friends with James Lamb or something, have him come on my show. I would be more, and I won't jump on him. I'll try to listen to what he has to say. But if he says something stupid, kind of like his whole petition and all that stuff, it doesn't make any sense. Unbounded. Yeah. It's not unbounded. They want people not to have bonds. They want any broker that's under $15 million to not be required to get a bond. They want them to be exempt. It is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And the best part about it is I wrote an article. You can look up the article. If you go to my website and search SBTC, you'll see the article. It's the very first one that pops up. You can click on that, scroll to the bottom of that article, and go leave a comment. You got to go. I'm making a show. Come on. Kids come in. Unbelievable. How unprofessional. But it is crazy. It's just crazy. Sean Cameron said, it seems impossible to get the bond anyway. I don't know what you mean by that. It's super easy to get a bond. You know, you just call a bonding company and say, super easy. You know, a bond. And here's a kicker too. Maybe it's just because he doesn't understand how the bonding process works. But a freight broker bond costs, if you have decent credit, $1,200 a year. It's not, you're not putting up $75,000 and saying, oh, my money's gone forever. No, you put up a little bit and that's it. And if you have horrible credit, you could still probably get a bond for $3,000 or $4,000 a year. It's not that expensive. And yet it's a talking point. You know, it's just something that someone wants to attack and say, well, dispatchers don't have to have a bond because you guys don't enforce it. So maybe brokers don't need to have a bond. It doesn't make any sense. Unbelievable. It is hot as hell in Florida today. And this office, I mean, my guest room, which this office is now my office, if it's on the far side of my house and there's an AC vent right there, and I swear there's no AC that comes through that vent. Because towards the end of the day, this office is like 100 degrees. You can't see it. I'm sweating my ass off right now. It gets hot in here. But Sean Cameron said, I mean, I get it if the broker does not pay the driver. Well, see, that's the problem is the bond. It said something really weird because it said it gives a competitive advantage for brokers versus dispatchers. Well, of course, because dispatchers shouldn't be working with customers unless they're bonded as a broker. It is what it is. It the whole thing, I think a lot of people misinterpret what a freight broker bond, the purpose of it is. The purpose is to assure payment to the carrier. It's not enough. A $75,000 bond is not enough to assure that a carrier is going to get paid. You know why? Because when bonding or when brokers go out, I did it on my show last week. I can't do it now because I'm using the other streaming stuff now. But the it's silly. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is silly. John Stater on YouTube said it's super hot. Felt like 93 with humidity in St. Pete. I went to the bank today at like, I don't know, 2 o'clock when my internet was down, and it was 102. I'm on the other side of St. Pete. I go over there and do competitions every now and then, but I'm on the other side and we're north of Miami. Someone in Miami said, well, it's like 90 here. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm looking at my temperature gauge. It's 102 here. It sucks. Wild Man said, you talk about Amazon paying crap wages. That's where most of the foreign drivers are pulling their freight. Yeah. I mean, Amazon rates, when they first started their relay thing, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago? Amazon rates weren't that bad. You know, I set up a bunch of carriers and they ended up getting a lot of money for working with Amazon and they did very well. The problem is that Amazon is smart. They got all the capacity. It's the same thing Uber tried, but Uber wasn't quite as smart about it. But Amazon got all the capacity in. They paid all this money and got all these trucks to come all in and had everybody signed up. They were even doing filing and directing people on what insurance to get and helping people file for authorities. That's how much they were controlling the marketplace, requiring the carriers to have, you know, $2 million general liability and all this stuff. And then they dropped their rates because now they have these trucks. These guys don't know how to get off and book freight. They don't know how to use load boards. They don't know how to do any of that. So they're stuck pulling this freight because now they have all these trucks and they added more trucks because they thought they were making money and they're not anymore. It's sad. Wild Man, I'll let you keep your next statement to yourself. I'm not going to go there. Red Diesel said, what's going to happen to produce season? Rate will spike? Yeah, it depends. But if rates are still really low, even though that produce season spike is supposed to come in, if rates are maintaining low, that spike isn't going to... It's not going to matter because freight's not going to keep coming. You know what I mean? It's just not going to keep coming. Dan Berg said, as a transportation company, we file on bonds all the time. We always get paid within 3 days. No, you can do that. And if the broker is actually open and existing, but the problem is when a broker closes, say someone brokers for a year and that, you know, say they're booking, you know, halfway decent brokers. So they're booking 10 to 15 loads, you know, average, say they're averaging 15, 16, 17, 22, you know, whatever, $1,000 a week in freight revenue. If they book that up for like 6 weeks and then keep you guys running around about payments and end up storing up 150 in receivables, get paid all that money from the shipper and decide, hey, listen, brokering's not for me, and bounce, which is a tremendous percentage of the new applications that I see every day. A tremendous amount of those brokers are done within a year. So think about it. All those people that have, you know, grown up all this huge book of business and don't pay carriers and then bail, that bond, you're not getting full value for your invoices anymore. Because that bond, if the bond is $150 or whatever, $150,000, the bond only covers $75,000 of it. So that immediately means you're getting $2.50 Yeah, 50 cents per dollar. So it's not very good. It's not very good. Right Lane said, is anybody buying watermelon? No. Last I talked, I've got a regular viewer that is a watermelon broker, and he said they had 160 bins sitting on the dock because nobody's buying it. So they're just sitting. Ryan Johnson, that could have been you that I talked to. I don't remember. But it was somebody that I talked to, one of these brokers. So, that's an interesting thing. I'm going on a terrestrial talk show tomorrow morning to talk about Smithfield Foods. Someone mentioned that before. I wrote 2 articles on Smithfield. I actually got in that I wrote an article this morning that referenced them from UPS, or not UPS, YRC. Because YRC, their office staff are really nervous about getting coronavirus because they're all still working. They're all working in this, you know, 160 of them working in this call center, and people are freaking out, you know, there. Ronald, hold on, buddy. I got to get it all set up. I'll give out my cell phone number. Cell phone number 603-209-2605. You're welcome to try to call in. I will make sure that this is connected to... All right, so it is connected, so you guys should be able to hear. So 603-209-2605, you can call in, and I'll put you on the air. Let's keep it appropriate, please. Don said, is TLC a good company to pull for? Never heard of them, so I don't know. You know, I don't crap on brokers very much, you know? That's the thing is I don't crap on brokers. Even TQL, like I always said, even though TQL treated their employees like dirt, in my personal opinion, TQL as a company to pull for, I never had any issues. When I had my trucks, I never, ever had any issues. When I had claims, never had any issues. Wait, maybe it's because I understood the market a little bit and I understood how brokers interact. But, like, you know, a lot of these big brokers that people complain about all the time, me as a carrier, I loved them. Never had any problems with them. And a lot of people just seem to bash them all the time. But it is what it is. Alexander Matic said, hey, bro, got a load out of St. Pete tomorrow. Jokes aside, thanks for the insight from a dispatcher. No problem, buddy. The phone number to call in, I'll put it in the – can I put it in this little thing here? Probably not. Phone number to call in is 603-209-2605. There you go, Red Diesel. Thank you, buddy. So again, if you guys are watching this in a watch party and you have questions, I can't see your watch party questions. So just keep that in mind too. So you'll have to go into like the extra one where it's the comments for the actual video. And I got YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff all in one. So you guys can only see certain ones. But anyone who wants to call in, you're welcome to. John asked Don, how many years of experience do you have? But let's go back through here. Persmall said, I talk to people that are in business 15 to 20 years and they've never seen such low rates out of Chicago, and there's no way customers are the only ones lowballing those rates. I agree. I do think that customers have kind of wised up, and so they have low rates, but I do think a big part of it is brokers being greedy. And I have no problem saying that either. Hey, what's up? You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, man, it's Ronald. Thanks for putting that number on there twice. Hey, I kind of wanted to, I guess, vent a little bit on the you know, the rates going down. I don't so much. I know a lot of you brokers, man, y'all catch hell from us drivers. You know, we think, you know, y'all are stealing from us.
Yeah.
Some people are. Most people ain't. You know, I got a lot of friends that are brokers. But I think, you know, some of this stuff, it goes back to the driver.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us drivers are actually popping our hoods, checking our oils, you know, drive? I just kicked off $1.70 a mile frozen chicken from Ohio, and it had to be at zero. Drove the truck 57 miles an hour, got 7.8 miles at a gallon. Man, you got to learn to roll with the punches out here, brother.
Right.
So I'm not disagreeing with what a lot of these drivers say. Yes, I agree with you. At 97 cents a mile for 46,000 pounds of water going 800 miles, there's not a person out here, I don't care if they're multimillionaires, it takes more than a dollar a mile to go right down the road.
Right.
But I think some of this stuff, brother, it needs to come back to us. As, hey, you know, what were you doing when the times were great? Were you, I mean, don't get me wrong. Hey, I went through all my savings in 2019 and now, but I know what to do to get me through this storm.
Right.
And another thing I think needs to happen, and you're 100% right, is people need to start writing down names. Hey, man, this brokerage agency is trying to haul a load. Or get a load haul for 97 cents a mile, $1.07 a mile. Okay, make them learn that lesson and stop hauling for them. But like you said, you don't have enough people out here that will say, hey, you know, I'm going to stand with this guy. I'm going to – this person over here at TQL or Coyote or whoever it is,
yeah.
Hey, we're not hauling for them.
Right.
So some of this stuff has to come back on us as drivers. But another reason that I called, what is the name of your brokerage agency? Because
I don't say it on the air. It was part of my deal with them when I started Freight Broker Life. You can message me afterwards. So
okay, I'll message you afterwards. But brother, hey man, keep this truth alive, man. Keep bringing us information because I've been watching you for I don't know a couple months now. I think it is.
Yeah.
And man, you opened my eyes. I mean, I used, like I said, I got plenty of broker friends. I just left Landstar because I got tired of their garbage.
Yeah.
And I got broker friends. They're still there. And they used to tell me all the stuff that was going around, you know, how they would, you know, move a little money here, make a little money there.
But yeah.
Since I've been listening to you, man, you've really, man, I start seeing things a little different. But so please, man, whatever you do, dear God, do not stop. We need you out here. Tell us the truth, man.
Well, that's,
and I will definitely message you after this, man. Brother, we love you. And you're one of the few brokers out here that's out here for the driver.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, man, take it easy.
All right, see ya. Yeah, right lane, you can call in now if you want. Sorry, I can't answer two calls at once. If you call in, while someone's on the phone, I'm just going to hang up on you. So, right lane, you're welcome to call in if you want now, Jerry. let's see. John said, well, you could easily find someone better than them, although, oh, I guess you're talking about the drivers. Whatever. Mob said he's been here when there was only three people watching. Very informative. Yeah, I mean, it's growing. It's growing steadily. For some reason, I don't have the, like, the YouTube is coming. You know, I'm getting more viewers. Facebook is blowing up. You know, I've got 102 people on Facebook right now watching this. And my videos for the past week have been doing that. And to me, I was telling someone else today, granted, I love the views. I love people watching it. I love people interacting. I love people asking questions. I love getting the questions after, because to be honest, I don't answer the questions after that you send, besides like what my brokerage is or anything like that. But if you ask me like, hey, how do I start up my company from A to Z? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to entertain the conversation because I work all day long. I write articles. I make the videos. I do all this shit all day long. So I do have a consulting tab on the website, freightbrokerlive.com, where if you wanted to sit and shoot the shit, then that's what we can do that way. But ultimately, there's only a few of you guys that I've been talking to for a long time. Well, now everybody has my number, but usually I don't answer the phone. And Jerry can attest to that. If I'm busy, I don't answer. So Benjamin Shine said, any advice to get through this storm? My advice is staying the same, guys. If you can afford to get off the road now, get off the road and just wait. Don't keep putting wear and tear on your vehicle. Don't run for less than what you need to in order to be profitable. I get the idea of it, but it doesn't make any sense. It's Jerry, hold on. It doesn't make any sense for anybody to run for less than what you actually need to make in order to break even. You'd be better off just sitting at home, spending time with your family, waiting for the shit to blow over whenever it's going to. Some people are saying May 15th, and that's only when like schools and shit start opening up. Hopefully they don't open up here in Florida. I'd rather just wait till next year to send my kids back to school, even though it's a pain in the butt during the day when they're here. But yeah, I mean, that's nobody knows when this thing is going to come, you know, when it's going to open. So it is what it is. Jerry, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I just wanted to call and say I love you too, man. I love you.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, don't make it weird.
Yeah, I think you just did.
You know, seriously, I can't believe brokers are robbing me, man. Stealing from me. It's a bunch of BS.
Yeah, yeah.
Stealing.
I'm being
all over the place, but your rates suck.
Yeah.
Holy cow, I was doing okay for a while. I can't even get home if I wanted to unless I'm willing to deadhead, you know?
It's funny, though. It's funny because I typically have relatively cheap freight. I mean, that's what my customer moves. It's cheaper freight. It's not the best freight. I'm just comfortable moving it. I found a way to move it. Everybody that normally moves it, because it's usually regular carriers, except we don't send load lists. They just see it when it gets online. But it's usually the same carriers. They all know it's a cheaper freight and it only works. It's volume partial, but it's funny because I make these videos and I probably get 10 requests a night to be added, you know, that they want to haul my freight, even though I'm saying it's cheap freight, which is kind of entertaining, but you know, I'm not really putting anyone on the list because I don't want you to stop watching my show when you see how cheap it is, but I advertise it's cheap. It's partial loads. My agents move full truck loads. I just don't do it much anymore because I have one big account that, you know, sends me 200 plus loads a week that I just move. So I don't really
haul your freight too, just because you're famous.
I'm not famous, but yeah.
But yeah, you know, does it seem like, and I don't know if you're looking at it, this is a feeling from me. I don't know if you have the data, but is it look like freight volumes are up a little bit from where they were earlier?
No, well, as according to DAT, no, volumes are still way down.
Yeah, but that's a lagging measure, right? Because you're looking
But not much. They got the they have the market conditions shit now. The market conditions index. Let me open it back up.
I don't know that I get it.
Well, you probably don't. Not unless you have DAT Power Office, I think is what it is. Let me see. I'm going to try. I can't show it on the screen, unfortunately. No. So today, well, actually, yeah, today is Tuesday. So let me look for tomorrow. It's still, even though load volumes may come up, we still have a huge overabundance of capacity on the market. And it's not just that. The capacity is not going to change because we have 300,000 trucks that have left, you know, auto parts and auto manufacturing. And in an effort to keep their drivers employed, they put those trucks on the spot market. So what that did is it gave a surplus of capacity to a surplus of capacity already. And the longer those auto plants and auto manufacturers and all that shit stay closed, it's only there's still hundreds and hundreds of thousands of more trucks that are sitting out there. There's going to be drivers that are home now waiting for it to go and that have been home for a while, the guys that aren't on Facebook, that are sitting at home just waiting for this to go, that are eventually not going to be able to wait anymore and are going to come back out into the market because they have bills and families to support and all that stuff. But according to...
Yeah, a lot, like myself, though, I mean, I've got, you know, I could go home and live my current lifestyle for 6-8 months.
Right. Well, and well, you should, but a lot of the drivers that are out here right now can't. You know, they're the same guys that are coming out and spending entirely too much money on trucks and on insurance and don't have great driving records, don't really know the industry, don't really, you know, didn't plan accordingly. You are kind of doing this as a retirement because you're an old man, but,
right.
You know, it's, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say it's, you are comfortable. You already got your house and your bills and all that shit paid for. It's a lot of people don't have that flexibility. Like me, if freight took a downturn, I'd be good for a little bit. Not years, but I'd be good for, you know, quite a while. So
right. Well, and I want to hear the data, but, you know, one of the other things is I talk to a lot of other drivers who are more business owners than they are steering wheel holders.
Yeah.
They've been home for 10 days already. Can you imagine where rates would be if all those guys were still out?
Oh, that's what I'm...
I can't even imagine.
Well, those guys are going to have to come back. That's the thing. Like Eric Hill said... had the whole fleet parked for over a month now. So, I mean, eventually, depending on what the income is and what it's looking like, is the fleet's going to have to come back eventually. Otherwise, the company's going to go out of business. And I don't know anyone's personal financial situation, but eventually,
rates could come back. Volumes could come up.
It's not going
to... Nobody has any idea.
It's not going to happen. We're not even at the bottom of the cliff. That's what everybody's saying now. These rates are going to continuously to get. I mean, I know I'm frightening everybody right now, but if the rates continue to drop, what the hell are we going to do? Because here's the kicker.
You're gonna bankrupt a lot of capacity. And then,
right.
That's a regulatory effect all by itself. That'll help regulate rates too. All of this federal intervention with the payroll protection plan and the small business loans, all that's doing is subsidizing the rates being as low as they are. You got a bunch of guys out here who weren't profitable unless they were hauling for $1.60. They went to their bank, they got a 120-day furlough from paying their truck note. Now they're profitable at $1.20. You know, it's like it's subsidizing the low rate.
Yeah, keeping economics out of it, we're kind of screwed in the temporarily. I'll say that. You know, I tried to be an optimist about it last week. I can't really do it anymore because the market, I mean, today I saw one too many. I think towards the end of the day, I saw one too many posts where a broker, a big broker, one of which I saw, which was a reputable broker. It was someone that I, you know, a brokerage that I've worked with in the past, and I think they're a good broker, and they had a load that was posted for under $1 a mile, full truckload, 44,000 right. pounds. That's a problem. All right, buddy, your phone cut off. Well, there you are.
I've called many agents and brokers that I have relationships with just looking for freight, and they're like embarrassed. It hurts their feelings to tell me the rates, you know?
Yeah.
But then again, I made a call to a broker I've worked with several times in the past. It was going into Lincoln, Nebraska, which doesn't look like it's a great freight area. I've actually never hauled a load there.
Yeah.
But But anyway, the Deadhead was in the same town, so I was looking at it.
Yeah.
And they told me $105 for 200 plus, 210, 220 mile run. And I was like, no, man, I can't do it. I mean, I'll do it for 220, but that's the best I got. And they're like, yeah, no, that's fine. And we'll put your bid in. He called me back in like 10 minutes. You know, he was up over 100% on the first lane rate average that he was willing to go.
Yeah.
I got my number. It's not by any means like I'm making money, you know, making a ton of money, but it was nice to get to win that little one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's hear the data. What do you got for the data on the volume?
I think I'm trying to show it right now. Check this out. See, I could still do it. So this is the DAT market conditions. Again, sorry, I've never used this software, so deal with it. But this is DAT market conditions. This is the new market conditions index that DAT just released on Friday that, you know, brokers have. This sea of blue, this is kind of my new like coin. This is why I see it like a sea of everything. That's why a lot of my titles have like a sea of blue or a sea of destruction or whatever the case may be. But it's because of this. This blue means that you can click on any area in this blue, and it says very loose capacity. I know a lot of people confuse light capacity with tight capacity. Like, very loose capacity means there's way too many trucks in the area. And to be 100% cold, that just says that we're screwed. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. This is Wednesday, so this is for tomorrow. If I look at Thursday, and again, dry van, reefer and flatbed are a little bit different. It shows a little bit more. I mean, this is Thursday. None of this is considered hot. So dry vans are, you know, you saw yesterday when I did the show, this northern Pennsylvania bit over here where my mouse is, that was still, you know, a very tight capacity area. It's this whole, you know, and I'm not trying to laugh. I'm laughing. It's a nervous laugh is what it is. This, like, I worry about the industry. I really do. Look at this shit. I mean, there's nothing else to say, but this is such a great technology. And when I wrote about it, you know, on Friday or the weekend or whenever it came out, I said, this scared the crap out of me. Look at a week from now. This is next Monday. And they're still predicting extremely loose capacity throughout, you know, 99% of the United States, with only some areas that are tightening capacity. It's not good for the trucking industry. But Jerry, thank you for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. And no, seriously though, I do second that guy, man. I can't tell you how much broader my knowledge of the industry's been since you started your show. Keep it up.
I will. I mean, the only thing that I'm probably going to give up, thank you, bud, for calling. The only thing I'll probably give up eventually is the broker side of things. As much as I like doing it, it's too much work, you know, for me. I really, really enjoy Freight Broker Live. I enjoy making the videos. I enjoy doing all the stuff that I've been doing lately in terms of just growing this brand and, you know, these videos. You guys remember when I first started the video and I was lucky to get 300 or 400 views. Look at it now. Or, you know, total through the entire video. This video will end with 2,700 views. You know, maybe, you know, 200 on YouTube because I don't understand YouTube. But someone asked me to do flatbed. So here's flatbed for next Monday. Again, still very blue. Let's look at tomorrow just to see. So, and flatbed's a little bit better, but the problem is this is only showing, load to truck volume, essentially. This isn't showing rates. I'm waiting for them to give me my demo login for the rates because I don't have it. But this is it's not, it's still not very good because we all know what the rates are paying. And I think yesterday, reefer was still pretty rough. And reefer right now is, we'll see here when it loads. Yeah, reefer is still, again, you only have a couple of areas. You have up here by what, Michigan, Wisconsin area. Southern Florida is hot for reefers, apparently. And, you know, where's that? South Carolina area and Southern Texas down by whatever market this is. What market is this? Oh, is it going to work? Because this will tell me the, McAllen, Texas. That's very hot. So that means if you have a truck there, you're likely to not get a lot of money, but there's going to be a lot of calls to your truck. Here's the kicker. I'm wondering if anyone posts trucks now. If you posted a truck in, say, like an area like Northern California or Oregon, are you guys getting a lot of phone calls? Is anybody that's in these markets, are you getting phone calls on trucks? Because in my office, we typically don't call carriers and brokers, or we don't call trucks that much because we don't deal this doesn't have tankers, but it's only got dry van, reefer, and flat. But, you know, we don't deal a lot with trucks, full truckloads, and it's just easier for us to post a load and just wait for a carrier to call. Typically, our rates are good enough, even though they're low, they're good enough to get carriers to call in and usually accept them with very minimal effort. It doesn't always work that way, but typically, at least in our experience. But the whole thing is just crazy. No matter which way you look at it, this whole thing is kind of, it's bonkers. It makes me nervous. It really does. It makes me nervous. Richard Caudell said, "Thou shall not post your truck." I kind of agree. I always posted my truck, you know, when I had my equipment, and I also, when I dispatched, I posted out everybody's truck. I booked more loads by just calling people, and I booked better loads. You know, and again, just like everybody knows, I'm a broker. So when the steps that I do when I call or when I quote a load is look at available trucks in the area. If Dad is saying to pay $250 a mile, and then I look on Dad in a truck search and it shows that there's 1500 trucks there and only 4 loads posted, guess what? I don't need to pay what Dad's paying. And as a broker, because my job isn't necessarily to look out for carriers all the time like everyone thinks. My job is to make money. My job is to make money for the shipper or save money for the shipper and make money myself while hoping to provide a livable wage to the carrier. That last part, providing a livable wage, is not something that all brokers do. You know, I think a lot of the good smaller ones typically do that. Some of the bigger ones, they actually do give a little, you know, they give two shits about their business and maintaining it. But yeah, not a lot. Jer Helms said 6 calls today out of Montana for a van. Michigan, nobody calls for the last month. Ryan Johnson said no trucks are getting called. Post a load and answer the phone as it rings off the hook. Yeah. You know, and that's the same thing with us. I turned off my phone, even though I'm not even on the call queue. It's just people out of frustration that can't get through to the call queue. They keep calling. They're just dialing the extension. They're like, hey, speak to the boss, press 1. And so they're just trying to, and I don't know what my voicemail says. I'm sure it doesn't say anything like that. But yeah, phone number is 603-209-2605. You're welcome to call in, talk freight, talk about whatever you want. It's interesting, man. The freight industry right now is interesting. When you look at it from a technology standpoint, and I'm not going to talk too much about it because that's what tomorrow's show is going to be like or be about. But when you look at it from a technology standpoint, it's kind of cool. You know, it to see that so many companies, like I have the article that I wrote, and actually now I found out that I can do this. Let me go back to this. Can I do this? Hold on. Look at that. All right, so this is a website. And like I said, you know, I do this state of trucking, and I give the coronavirus update for the day and then this big, nice infographic. So if you've never been over to my website, freightbrokerlive.com, you should. I designed this whole damn website myself. I wrote the majority of the articles. I do have a couple of writers now that I pay to write. But I spend a lot of time on this. So guys, check it out. It's awesome. Anyway, if you go to – I forgot what I was even going to look up here. Something on the front page. I forgot what it was. Oh, in this article here. In very uncertain times, these companies prove they are ready for the challenge. So basically what I did is I wanted to do something different. And again, maybe this is just a little telling sign that I'm a bit different than everybody else. And I'm not going to talk about it that much. This is a very long article. But I feature a bunch of different companies. I feature Ascent TMS, and I talk to Tim, the owner there, Big Truck Logistics. And I spoke to Raphael Shipwell, Robert Bain. Shout out to that dude. OTR Capital, this is Tyler Dortch, sales manager. All these people talked about what they, how their companies dealt with the working remote and were they ready to do it and all the different issues that they faced and challenges that they faced and how they did it. And it was just very cool to highlight something that is positive in a time of just crappiness, because everything we hear is crappy, you know? You know, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote the other article that I found this afternoon about the MCS Anna, which is one of the largest cargo ships in the world. It can hold over 19,000 20-foot containers. Look at this thing. Let me put this up on the screen. This ship is coming into the port of Oakland on Thursday. 1,312-foot long boat. It's insane. You know, and the problem is it does have cargo, but it's got a lot of empties, and it's picking up a lot of empties, and because they need to just get the, you know, That's a stream. There we go. Alexander Matic said, good words provide liberal wage to the carrier. Not many companies will survive these rates. If it goes more than a month or two, you have significant drop in available trucks, and unfortunately, many drivers will lose their jobs. Industry will level up eventually for sure. Only question is how many of us will be in it by the time that happens. There's not going to be a big enough bailout. They're never going to be able to do it. The PPP loan, I just saw someone posted it right before. They applied for the PPP loan, except it doesn't do anything for them. Right? And so they were declined because they didn't have any employees. So they applied for the $10,000 grant. And apparently they're getting $1,000 because you also need to prove that you're an employer. So I don't know. William Harp said, did I talk to Chad Boblett of Boblett Brothers? No, I don't. He's got me blocked for some reason because he views, you know, who cares? I don't care. You know, he's built quite the online presence of people that don't like him. So let's just say that. But John Stater said, what a freaking behemoth. And I don't think he's talking about Boblett. I think he's talking about the boat. But yeah, the boat is massive, man. And if you read the story, some of this stuff, because they were dredging just to be able to get these big mega ships, mega cargo ships in. So they dredged another 50 feet down to you know, be able to contain these ships. In 2016, I think they had the CMA Benjamin Franklin, which is a massive ship in itself that could haul 18,000 carriers. That came in, you know. It's a really good article, and I do, you know, I wrote it. It's a good article because it talks about how the pilots or you know, the tugboats and the pilot, or whatever they call them, they had to come in and guide them all in. It's interesting. That is the reason why I love doing the Freight Broker Live brand, because I learn new shit. I've never really, you know, I did tour a port in the port of Newark once when we were looking when we were entertaining a client. When I lived up there, but I don't really have experience with intermodal or, you know, ocean freight and seeing it come in. And it's very cool. But yeah, man, that's it. Vincent asked the same question. You know, I don't say that stuff until after. I don't say the company name I'm an agent for on the air. It's kind of the deal I made with them just in case I do get a little too risque. People don't get pissed off. So, and a lot of you guys know who it is, or, you know, who I work with. And you could tell because no one puts it in the chat because they respect me and they'll get blocked very quickly. It's just one of the things I keep separate. Mike Salas said brokers don't lose at all. Brokers are feeling the crunch though. Here's one thing I want to say. So when I had my settlement today, so yeah, our volume, and I talked about this today with a couple of clients and a couple of friends in the industry. Our volume count, so the loads that we covered volume-wise, we covered way more than we typically do. I think we're up to like 30 or so loads for the average. And our revenue was down. Our revenue was way down because we weren't making as many loads. We were just covering loads for whatever the hell we could cover them for. But so we covered way more loads than we typically do on a day basis, but we averaged like $700 in commission across 30 loads. You know, each day it wasn't not good in terms of, you know, that's personal stuff, but it's not good. You know, I think one day we had $13,000 in revenue and we had $1,100 in commission, which is still a higher percentage than, you know, 5 or 6, but it's still less than 10%, you know, and then you got to take away the 8, cause I'm an agent, take away that fee for the amount of work that goes into it. Is it worth it? No, probably not, you know. But it is what it is. That's the industry. You know, we just got to book freight, man. That's what we're trying to do, is just book freight and keeping everyone happy. JR said, how many of those containers will go to rail? I don't know. Mob Entertainment said they've been deeping the river in the Georgia ports to handle those ships for years now. Not sure where it stands at the moment. Yeah, it's crazy. Ryan Johnson said brokers are feeling the crunch. It's way easier to make $2 to $3 on a $4 to $5,000 load. It's hard to make $200 on a $1,200 load. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is, you know, we always have, you know, it's hard to make I said the same exact thing, the opposite today, to be honest. You can make $200 or $300 on a $4 to $5,000 load easy. But to me, when I was a carrier and a broker, or I'm still a broker, but when I worked more regional freight, I found it very easy to make a higher percentage because when the line haul was shorter. So if I was working on a, you know, 200-mile run, and I paid the carrier $700, and I told the customer it was going to be $1,000, and I made $300, that's a much higher percentage. I'm not going to make that same percentage if I'm booking a load for $4,000 and selling it. Well, you could, but it's a lot harder to attain that kind of thing for me. Us, our commission, again, I do everything different. I'm all about just covering loads, keeping my customer happy, making sure the carrier, we work off of the sell rate from the customer. So it's just from being a broker for a long time. Well, someone called in and then hung up. You're welcome to call back if you'd like. That's it. Yes, sir. Said, how about autopilot trucks? We already talked about that. When this video ends, you can go back to the beginning because we do talk about that already. So I'm not going to repeat myself. Oh, it's already 9 o'clock. So I'm going to wrap this video up pretty soon. I wish I could play like the commercial. Let me see if I could find it. Actually, I don't think the sound's on this damn thing either. Unfortunately, this has kind of been a bust in terms of technology today, unfortunately. But yeah, Ascend TMS, guys, if you're looking, and this is the thing, Ascend TMS in this article that I wrote today, this afternoon, about, you know, the technology and how companies are providing. Ascend TMS is a software provider. Everyone knows about them. Everyone's heard about them. Here's the kicker, though. The more that I learn about that software, the more I kick myself in the ass, to be honest, because I should have jumped on it when it was early on and the company was brand new and tried to talk to Tim and say, hey, listen, man, here's some money. Let me have a piece of it. Because that what they do currently, and they do way more than I even thought they did, what they do currently and what they have plans to put into place in the near future, which I've been sworn to secrecy. That software is amazing, and it really is. You know, there's very little about that software that I didn't like even before, you know, working with them and becoming advertising partners. But now that I've talked to them more, it's such a crucial software, I think, especially now. It's a telling sign when large companies are turning to them to use their software because they actually see what's there, you know, and their focus isn't, you know, and I don't want this to turn into an ad, but their focus isn't on the big brokers. Their focus is on making sure smaller customers and smaller brokers, shippers even, and carriers. You guys know that Ascend has a whole carrier system built in where you can handle dispatching trucks and IFTA. Oh, I think it does IFTA, driver payroll, all that stuff. It's all built into their system. And if you have a broker carrier authority, you could do both of those things right in the same system. And it's the same price. So, you know, go over to the freetms.com if you're interested in the Ascend TMS system. And really, it sucks because I missed the boat on that one. And I said that to Tim today. I did. I said, I missed the boat. He's like, what do you mean? And I said, I wish I knew more about this software a couple of years ago when I had a bunch of money and I could have, you know, jumped in on it. Because I really just think it's such a good software, and some of the shit they have coming in the future, it's a game changer. But he's going to be on tomorrow as well. Tim's going to be on tomorrow. 2:30, he'll be on. Jesse said, am I taking calls on my cell? Yeah, if someone wants to call in, you just got to call and wait till I answer it. But yeah, I am. Renee Small said, all I see is carriers bashing brokers. Honestly speaking, what is a reasonable number for a broker should be comfortably making per load in the driver's perspective? I have no idea because it all depends. You know what I mean? It all depends. You know, me, I'm comfortable making $50 a load minimum. I don't give a shit if it's a $5,000 load. Why? Because I don't do anything. I post a load, the carrier calls, I book them on it, I put an MC number in our system. The load's already built automatically because of the way that I do it. It's set up. I just made $50 for something that literally took me about 2 seconds to do. So I don't care. And then the thing is, because I have all the address, it's the very first thing I do whenever I switch companies and go be an agent for somebody else, which I do every now and then to negotiate a better commission and all that stuff. The same thing I always do is as part of my setup package, I go to them and I say, hey, listen, I've got a list of 180 different locations. Can you put them in the system or do I have to do it? And usually they say you have to do it. But then I put each location in the system, and then I book loads the same exact way. I post the loads out, carriers call, and book it. Now the game is changing, though, because now they have DAT's Book It Now functionality, or Book Now is what they're calling it. That, my friends, is a game changer. Any freight brokers out there, any small brokers that are out there right now, need to sign up for DAT Office or wherever they're allowing you to beta test it. I can't speak to it, But there's a lot of softwares that are going to have this functionality in it right now. Ours, you know, we're beta testing it. They released it out to the masses, I think, in May. But it's a game changer. I've only used it once, but I did it on a Saturday just to see what it was like. And I did a down, and I booked the first load so fast that I had to make a phantom load, say, do not book it, I'm testing it, and then try to book it myself to see what the emails were, because I literally posted a load and it, immediately the load was booked. And I made a $200 commission for literally doing nothing. Here, I'll tell you the entire process that I took to book that load. And this is going to blow your mind. So what I did, a customer emailed. He said, how much to move it? I gave him the price. And he said, okay, here's the pickup address. And I looked in the computer. It was already there. So I said, all right. And I built the load up there, put in the pro number, pressed a button. It sent it out to the load board. 5 minutes later, it came back and it's like, boom, carrier accepted the load. Send him the Raycon. That was it. And I made $200. That's the thing about being a broker. It's not hard once you get the customers. It takes a lot to get a customer, but we have a caller, so let me pick this one up. Hey, bud, you're on the air.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, the problem with most people today is the fact that everybody thinks that we're in a recession or a depression with these rates that are going down.
Yeah.
We're not. You got to remember, we are in a state of emergency. The country is shut down.
Right.
The only stuff that's moving is the critical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shippers that are going to move stuff, and there are trucks out there, you know, they're going to move stuff at cheaper rates because it's better business for them.
Right.
It's better, you know, they're making more money.
Right.
You know, people need to basically do what they're supposed to do, go home. I mean, supplying that they can last a couple of months,
mm-hmm.
use the stimulus packages that have been offered out. And they are being offered out if you fill them out correctly.
Right.
You know, because I know several people that are getting the payroll protection plan, you know.
As solo owner-operators?
Yeah, owner-operators, people with 1099, lease operators, owner-operators. You basically have to consider yourself as an employee. I mean, you're not going to get hundreds of thousands of dollars, but
right.
you can at least get, you know, 1500, you know, like between like 1000 and 1500. I got a buddy, him and his wife drive team.
Right.
And they signed up for it, like, I don't know, when it first came out.
Right.
And they signed up for it immediately because they noticed the rates were going down.
Right.
Like $1,200 a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, beginning, one guy got
truck payment.
Yeah. One guy, like I said in the beginning, the one guy got $1,000 for doing it. But that's the problem is a lot of people just, you know, all thought they were just going to get boatloads of cash, which is not, it's not what it's for. Well, it's to keep you sustaining and to keep you, you know,
exactly. But everybody thinks that they're going to get these FEMA loads, you know, oh, it's an emergency. We got to keep the country supplied.
Right.
You know, and you got to remember after Katrina, owner operators basically shot themselves in the foot because they gouged the government, you know, with all this money. You
right.
know, I mean, I used to work for Landstar, and Landstar, swore blind, they would never work with FEMA ever again.
Right.
Because they lost a majority of their customers because all of their trucks went down, and they went sat there, and the drivers were making a ton of money.
Right.
But they lost all of their customers.
Right.
All of the major customers. And it took them years to come back from that.
Right.
The federal government isn't giving those loads to people. If people watch the news, you're seeing soldiers and National Guard sort groceries out.
Well, they're doing that at the distribution center. So the
right,
yes,
they're doing that at the distribution
right.
centers. But people like the mega carriers and the FedExes and the UPS and
yeah, they all have the FEMA contracts. Yep.
They all have the FEMA contracts because they don't gouge them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they're not spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on trucking. They're just spending a little bit normal what they would do.
Right.
That's why there's no FEMA loads out there.
Right.
I work for a major carrier right now.
Right.
I'm a trainer with one of the major carriers. For the last 3 weeks, I have been running solid. Medical supplies, food, toilet paper. I mean, my logbook looks like a red line going all the way across it.
Yeah.
Right? Company doesn't care because I'm legal to do it.
Right.
But I'm making money hand over fist.
Right.
And all these people are sitting around going, oh, I can't find a load. Why?
Well,
you're supposed to be at home.
Well, you're not using the load boards either. You have a dispatcher.
Well,
you're not self-booking your loads.
I have used the load boards in the past.
Right, but you're not now.
You
Right.
Not now, no.
Right.
But I'm seeing what other people are. I'm seeing what other people are telling me what's on the load boards.
Right.
Like my friends that are owner operators with Landstar, they still run the DAP boards. You know.
Yeah.
Just because they work with Landstar doesn't mean they can't use other broker boards. You know, like in most other companies. But they're seeing what's happening, and they're saying, "Hey, I don't want to even be out here."
Right.
You know, I got enough money. I can survive for 3 months. A lot of friends of mine got the trucks paid off because they haven't got big, expensive payments to make. You know, and
yeah.
That's just smart business.
Well, that was my advice too. Is if you can afford to get off the road for a little bit, get off the road, because it's not doing anything. You running for less than what your operating cost is isn't helping the industry, and you adding a truck to capacity isn't doing anything positive either. You might as well just get off the road. I virtually said that every single day from, you know, since I really started reporting about, well, actually the past week, because to be honest, I tried to be an optimist about this whole shit show until, you know, last week. And then I was like, oh crap, this is going to have lasting effects. I see. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
No worries. No worries. Just people need to stop pushing us into a recession, because that's what they're doing. So
yeah, I hear you.
I mean, that's basically it. So
all right, buddy.
Good work.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Bye. Yeah, it's an interesting. It's just the whole thing's very interesting when you look at it from a standpoint. Like I agree, it's everybody's pushing us into a recession the way that the market is working, and it's not just a trucking recession. Hell, we're in it. It's in, and this is going to be blunt. We're not going to get out of this anytime soon. You know what I mean? In my opinion, because we're still not at the bottom of the cliff, like everybody says. And then we got to work our way back up. We're going to have trucking companies that close. We're going to have brokerages that close. We have reports of slow paying brokers already because their shippers are not open. You know, it's going to be a lasting effect, and there's going to be a lot of people that are transitioning. It would be remiss of me not to say that, because that's the truth. The industry is kind of effed right now, and I don't know what to, you know, do about it. To be completely honest, I don't know. It's nerve-wracking to me, to be honest. It's concerning, because there's not, I mean, what can I do? The only thing I could do is just make videos and talk about it, or write about it on my site, freightbrokerlive.com, if you've never been there. Josh Lumpson said, just a rough patch and we'll be over before you wipe your whiny blot tears up. Okay, buddy. Yeah, I mean, it is a rough patch, but it's not going to be over anytime soon. As much as it, you know, I get the optimism, but I also believe in being truthful. It's kind of the whole reason why I started Freight Broker Live, is I don't believe in spinning out bullshit. I believe in speaking the truth and trying to give an honest, you know, my take on it. You know, everyone is able to listen to it. You know, I typically have more of an optimistic approach to everything I do anyway. I just don't. There's light at the end of this tunnel. I just think it's a very long ass tunnel to be, in my opinion. Again, this is my opinion. Richard Caudell said, hopefully Book It Now will get brokers to post rates, make it much easier to skip over junk rates, save me a bunch of disappointing phone calls. That's the one policy we have, is we post all of our rates all the time. Why? Because it does exactly that. Skips out the junk calls. Do we still get the carrier that calls in and says, hey man, your load says $700. That can't be right. And I'm like, yeah, it's a partial load, so you're damn right it's right. And he's like, F you. We still get those guys all the time. And usually I call him back and I'm like, where do you live? I'm coming. You know, but, you know, I'm gonna get you. But we get those. I mean, Ryan had one on Monday. You know, my ops guy, he had one on Monday where the guy called and said, hey, I think you put the wrong rate in there. And he's like, no, that's the right rate. And the guy's like, well, you know what? F you. Didn't hang up the phone. And Ryan's like, okay. Like, see you later. Like, there's nothing we can do. If that's the rate the customer has, it's the rate the customer has. We can't do anything. Nick Williams said, what was the technology I mentioned when you booked the load in no time made $200? That was the Book Now functionality from DAT. Still in beta, though. So not everybody has it. And again, a lot of people said, oh, were you bragging when I mentioned? No, I was proving how easy it was. And it was easy for the carrier as well, because the carrier didn't have to talk to a broker. You know, I didn't have to beat him up or down on the rate. You have the ability to quote right through the system. So if he didn't like the rate I was offering, he would have been able to quote a rate, not a bid, but just, you know, quote it right through the system, and that I could accept that bid or not. It's a very cool system, and I really like it. And I think it's those kind of systems are what are going to completely change the industry. It's, you know, those in the digital marketplace, it's what everyone's always saying. It's going to change this industry. 100%. All right, I'm getting tired of talking. We got a call right here. Let me pick this up. What's up? You're on the air.
Hey, little brother. How you doing?
What's going on?
Not much. It's Jesse, your friendly Walmart driver.
Yeah, what's up?
I think that there is three ways that we can solve low pay.
What's that?
And I'll rank them from the hardest to the easiest. First one is, and I don't hang up on me, but Honeywell. I think the sole purpose of the website was lost. Because I think if you can put up the screen for a super trucker, I'll put my super trucker hat on.
Oh, I don't have
a trucker. Yeah. I could take the Honeywell left lane and go to a carrier and say, "Hey, look at this rate."
Are you? Whoa! Yeah, you're trying to say Lane Honey, right?
Yeah.
Not Honeywell. Yeah. Don't mention Lane Honey on my show. It's fake. It's not real. Seriously, don't mention it at all. Because as I said, I advise new brokers to use Lane Honey because they'll never get any business. It's not real. All the rates that are on there are fake and not real. So don't mention that on my show. Okay, second point.
As a carrier, you take that and say,
he's still going with it.
This is the rate. Or you could be a broker and you could say that this is the rate and I'll take 5% off that and kick you back 5% and get the rest of the carrier. And then everybody wins and everyone gets paid a decent rate.
Right. Except those rates aren't real. Okay. So number two.
I'll give you a little background. Like a week into the Corona thing, I was about ready to sign paperwork on truck and become my own op.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I didn't do it. I said, let's wait and see what happens.
Good call.
And then I don't have experience with that. I'll admit that. Uh-huh. Is there a way on that to review brokers?
Yes. Well, I don't. Yes, you can review brokers on that. They have the what do they call it? Oh, I don't know. I don't have data open, so I can't tell you. But okay. Yes, they do have a way for you to review and look up reviews and leave reviews on different brokers, including whether it's a payment issue or something like that. Because
now, as irritated as I am that you're not doing classes,
right?
But I went ahead and spent $15 on Amazon.
Yeah.
To download three different audiobooks.
Okay.
On learning how to be a freight broker.
Yeah.
Now, if all truckers could sit down for one day out of the month, from what I understand is you have to keep a copy of the contract with the shipper, your contract, and then the contract with the carrier.
Yeah. Well, it's two separate transactions. This is what gets a lot of people because they know where you're going. So let me stop you for a second. So there's two different transactions in every single broker load. There's a transaction between the shipper and the broker, and then there's a transaction between the broker and the carrier. Based on the FMCSA code or, you know, regulations and all that stuff, a carrier has access to the rate that is provided by the broker. So how much the broker makes. So you would see what we bill the customers, basically, because you would know the commission. The problem is there's nobody, there's not a single broker, myself included, that is going, well, I take that back because I probably would, but then I'd still never work with you out of principle because you'll know the customer information and all that stuff. But there's nobody that shares that information, allows you to continue on. The only time that what I just said is wrong is if you're under dedicated, like, you know, broker routed freight or something like that, where you're privy to how much the broker is making. But the regulation does not apply. It is a regulation, but it's not. It's just like dispatch saying a dispatcher is illegal. They are, but there's no enforcement of it. You know what I mean? And even if for example, say you sued a three-letter broker to go after and find out exactly what he paid the customer. If you sued them, they would just say, okay, this is what we paid. And then you would never work for that broker again. So it would do, and you're still bound by your non-compete that's in every single carrier contract that's sent out by brokers. So you couldn't even go after that customer directly anyway. You see what I'm saying? So it wouldn't, it literally no benefit.
Well, the benefit is that you could find out which brokers are taking 30 to, you know, way above their average for a percentage.
But what?
And you could post that on DAT, and then people could say, oh, this guy's ripping people off left and right.
Well, the DAT would remove that, because here's the thing. If, for example, say I have a load and I'm going to make 50% commission on it. Am I holding a gun to your head saying you need to take this load?
No.
So the choice for you to book the load is your choice.
Right.
So you can't get pissed off if a broker's making a lot of money. It doesn't make any sense. That's like me saying, well, listen, the national average is $1.82 per mile, but you're asking me for $3.25. You need to take $1.82 per mile. Otherwise, you're profiting, and that's not okay based on the same definition. Or by me saying, okay, you make 10 cents a mile. You see what I mean? It doesn't – it's not a valid argument, and it's something that always ticks me off. Now, the brokers that are underpaying carriers and still making a 50% profit margin, then that's a problem. But the only way that you guys can stop – the only way the trucking industry can stop brokers like that is by not pulling the load. And if you pull the load and just say, oh, bad broker, I'm going to leave review, it's you're still just making that broker know that he can get away with it to the next guy. So that's
I mean, I understand that. And yeah. I'm more focused on these, from what I've been reading, is a lot of these hit-and-run brokers.
Yeah.
They'll run up things for 3 months, and then they'll take off with all the money.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of them do it.
And the third way is if you use your little nice association to make it so that all brokers have to be licensed and take a class and be held a lot more responsible.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would like to do, to be honest. I really think, that was one of the plans with the association when I first started anyway, is I wanted just to have some transparency, not transparency. It's not the right word, because I think it's a free market. Everyone can dictate how much they make and how much they don't make. I never want to limit that, but I want to limit the amount of people or the people that can enter the industry. And it goes on the carrier side as well. I don't think someone that's driven a truck for 3 months has learned enough about the industry to go out and start their own trucking company. That's just my personal opinion. Nor do I think anybody that's gone and worked for, you know, a big broker for 2 months and then wants to go out and start his own brokerage. I don't think people that have been convicted of securities fraud or writing bad checks or people with horrible credit even should be able to go out and become brokers. Why? Because you have a fiduciary, however you say that word, you have a financial duty to make sure you pay your carriers. I guarantee if we did a check on everybody that has bailed out on carriers, I guarantee we would see several commonalities. One, they're horrible at managing money. I can almost guarantee that that's what the people that The people that literally just run away with the money. I'm not talking about companies that go out of business and shit like that, but the people that, like you did, you know, or like you said, come in, work for, you know, 6 months and then just take off with the full receivables. I guarantee one, it's not their first time doing it. Secondly, they probably have shitty credit. And third, the company may not even be set up in their name. It may be set up in someone else's name. So that way, when they do bolt, it's not going to affect them at all. It's going to, you know, ruin their ex-wife or someone like that. Those companies are all the same way, and that's why I think there needs to be a stringent licensing process in place for brokers, and get rid of the $75,000 bond, make it a $250,000 bond at a minimum, is my opinion. But again, you know, that pisses a lot of people off too, because, you know, everyone had a heart attack when the bond went from $10,000 to $75,000, you know, and now to have a broker actually sit out there and say, the bond isn't enough, it doesn't protect carriers. And then have a trade organization that says, well, we need to get rid of the bond. And in to protect carriers, the whole thing is silly. But yeah, that's why I created the trade organization, if I ever have time to do anything with it, was to partner with carriers and brokers and factoring and insurance companies and try to like institute change on an industry level instead of a specific segment of the industry.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to being a member of your association.
All right, buddy. Yeah, thank you.
Later.
All right. Hold on one second. He got me going there for a second. But I know what he was doing. He was good. All right, let me read this stuff. a lot of people were hard to. I wasn't reading the comments. You know why? Because I looked over here. My wife posted something on Facebook. I'll show you because it's nice. Those are my kids and my wife, as you can see. So she posted on Facebook. And I don't know when she took this picture because we haven't worn jackets in like 2 years since we lived in Florida. But she posted them dabbing. I don't know when that was, to be honest. But it's a good photo of them. I feel like I don't see them anymore because I'm stuck working all the time, to be honest. They're all sleeping already. It's 9:30. They're old people. Pedro said the customers are screwing everyone over. No, the coronavirus is screwing everyone over. The supply chain shutting down is shutting down states is screwing everybody over. Customers aren't really doing it either. They're just protecting themselves from you know, the horrible rates and things like that. That's, you know, it's the market. It is. Vincent said, Roger, I don't think you're talking about me. I'm hoping you're talking about the caller. If you're talking about me, why don't you call in? 603-209-2605. Bet you won't. Mike said they should be showing that. I don't know what you're talking about. Let me see. Mike said, hit and run brokers almost killed me. Lost so many thousands. It happens a lot. I mean, I ran through in one of the earlier videos. I went to Pacific Financial and checked on the bonds that were expiring because they update it every day. There was hundreds of them since January 1st of 2020. Hundreds and hundreds of them. You see, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because I can probably pick out, if I called each and every one of those brokers that are closing, I can guarantee some of those brokers owe a lot of money, owe way more than the $75,000 bond. And some of those brokers, this is probably their fourth or fifth time around the ball doing it. And it's a problem. It's a problem. And the only way you can change that problem and change that issue is by hitting it heads on. A lot of people don't choose to do that kind of stuff, though, unfortunately. Mike Salah, I already answered your question or your comment. Vincent said, wow, I can believe this guy is talking like this. I just like the next broker. Wow. I think he's a joke, putting carriers out of business. I don't know what you're talking about. You're welcome to call in too, buddy. 603-209-2605. Because a lot of times the text messages, when I read the chats, they don't really make sense. And like that doesn't make sense. Well, I can't believe this guy is talking like this. I just like the next broker. Wow. He thinks it's a joke putting carriers out of business. I don't know, I'm not a little broker. I've got a $1 million book of business. I move a crap ton of freight. So I'm not worried about having a bond that goes up to $250,000. If that's what you're talking about, putting little brokers out of business. You know, I could be, you know, taking it the wrong way, but I'm not a little broker. I can afford a $250,000 bond because, to be honest, it's not that much money. It's maybe at most 10 grand a year. Think about how much a carrier has to pay for their truck insurance. Make it so, you know, a broker isn't, you know, has something vested in the industry. Because look at all the big brokers. Guess what they do not have? $75,000 bonds. They all have $250,000 bonds or the majority of them. So, you know, if having a $250,000 bond will put a broker out of business, they're not a good broker to be in the business. And I don't mean that to offend anybody, but that's just the case. You need to be able to manage business and you need to be able to manage your account. Pedro Castro said we need Hoffa to come back to life and make sure carriers get paid again. That too. I'm your Hoffa. No, not really. Pers Mall said, carrier needs $1 million in liability insurance for each truck. Brokers should have $1 million also in bond. Yeah. I mean, $1 million in bond is good, you know, but the chance of a small broker, the guys that are, hold on 1 second. Just got a comment on LinkedIn. Oh, that's a comment. I don't even know. People, they see them live, and then they send me messages. Ronald Atwell said, are you favorite freight broker on Facebook? That is me, sir. Your favorite freight broker is what it's called. But you should also be able to search Freight Broker Live there. Or you can go to my website, which is probably the best news resource for everything freight news. And I also have a podcast. It's called Freight Broker Live. It is literally this show. And this show is highly ranked on iTunes and all that good stuff. I think we're number 72 in all-time business news this morning, or in business news, trending business news, something like that. But yeah, this website is my website. Design all this stuff and do all that stuff. Look, there's me. Very cool. All right, I'm wrapping this up. I'm getting tired here. Mike Slaw said, I grossed over $3 million in 2008, 2020, about to close shop. It's rough, man. It's the industry's rough. A lot of people don't understand it. Brokers, granted, we don't have a huge overhead like a lot of carriers, but we lose customers quite often, you know, two big brokers, you know. I'm just fortunate because I run my brokerage business a little bit different than some other people. I run it on a volume basis, meaning I don't care how much I make as long as I'm covering a shit ton of freight. And typically, the big brokers can't even beat that. Yes, they may be able to beat the rate, but they're not going to cover the load. Because, you know, I already know that. And so I very rarely do I lose out customers, but a lot of these other customers that, or a lot of these other brokers that have decent carriers or decent customers that are paying okay and, you know, they're happy with and that they have relationships with, if I come in and say, listen, I'll undercut your rates by 8% and still make a profit on it, they're going to work with me. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. It doesn't matter what your relationship is, because this is the truth as a salesperson. If I get contact with someone, say a logistics manager, and I say, listen, I can cut your rates by 8%. Let's go. And he's like, no, we've got a good relationship with Joe Blow's brokerage over here. I think we're just going to stay with him. And I say, all right, who's your manager? And then they'll be like, well, who's the manager? And I'll usually get through to a manager. And if they don't find, I'll find it on LinkedIn or something like that. And then I'll call the manager and I'll be like, hey, I spoke to your logistics rep the other day and said I could save him 8% guaranteed, because then I add the guaranteed in there. And then I say, I could save you 8% off your current freight rates, guaranteed. And then I just didn't know if you got the message, and now he's not answering my calls. And so usually what you do is you end up getting the account. Secondly, you can guarantee anything you want, because then you inflate the rates afterwards. As a salesperson, that's what you do. You guarantee the rates if you work on a really low margin, and then you increase the rates a little bit as you go. It's the same thing that I've always done, you know? Let's see. Big carriers are self-insured. Yes, they are, Spartan, on YouTube. Carl Stanny said, explain the cost of entertaining customers, employees, accounts, reps. Everyone thinks a broker has no expense. I welcome all drivers to get in as a sales rep and get their own clients. Well, yeah, there's a lot of things. Yes, I take that back. I worked as a sales director for a company. We gave someone Series 7, World Series Game 7 tickets, and I didn't go because it was the freaking Yankees and I hate them. But we gave those to a customer, and then we ended up getting a deal. And a lot of LTL carriers would come in and give out promotional shit or bring in lunch. I worked for a company as a logistics manager. It was a shipper, and I handled all their shipping and their fleet and all that stuff. And they had vendors come in every single week, and they did vendor demos where they bought lunch. And so you would have 150 people walk in, get their free lunch, look at the demo and say, oh, that's pretty cool, and just go back to their office with a free lunch. And the company did it every single week. And I don't know if the vendors even realized what the hell was going on, but the company offered company lunches. That's one of the things they advertise, company lunches every Friday, because they had a vendor come in and do a demo and then, you know, provide lunch for everybody. It's quite brilliant. But in terms of entertaining customers, employees, account reps, you know, it's not an expense when you consider what a carrier has to pay. So it's not, Carl, I get what you're saying, but it doesn't justify raising rates or making a high percentage, because you can cover all those costs for 4% profit margin. You don't need 10%. You don't need 15% like some of these brokers make you have. You could cover your whole operational expense for 4% if you work on a volume system, you know, because you're covering a lot of loads with very minimal effort. I missed a comment here. Where'd it go? Kurt said, do I ever get sick of carriers negotiating for higher rates every phone call? No, because they don't. Because the way I say my rates, and this may give it away if anyone's ever called, but I always say the rate is firm, because my rates are firm. So I always say the rates are firm. And then they're like, well, how firm is firm? And I'm like, firm. And then if they mess with me a little bit too much, then I just hang up the phone. You know, a lot of times they'll be like, yeah, I'm paying $1,200. And they're like, can you do a 19? I said, nope, the rate's firm. And they're like, well, can you do 18? Nope, the rate is still firm, sir. Can you do 17? All right, buddy, I'll talk to you later. And that's it. I can't waste time. You know, I'm a volume guy. Our phones ring you know, well over 100 times per line every single day. That's what we do. That's how we book freight. Ask Ryan. That poor dude is doing everything. I don't know if he's watching this video. I say our phones. My phone's not ringing anymore because I turned it off. Ryan's phone's ringing like crazy. And then I send him assignments to let me know which sales rep booked what at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday, the night before payroll. You know what? But he's good at what he does, and that's good. But Espinoza something, whatever you said, I don't know what you're even talking about. You said 150 to 170 a mile for reefers. Cool story. Mike said, smack my head, whatever, buddy. Steve said, honest opinion, does the industry need brokers? Is it a must? Yeah, it is, unfortunately. It is, you know, because carriers can't go out and get their own customers and maintain those customers and do the entertaining and all that stuff. Like, yes, I've worked for companies that send out Christmas cards and do all that shit to their customers. I've never done that. The only thing I've ever done for a customer, to be honest, when I've gone and visited customers, I didn't even buy lunch. I made them do it. Why? Because I'm a commodity. They needed me as a freight broker in order to get the best deal. You know what I mean? Maybe it's just different. It didn't take me a lot to sell myself. Once I got in the door, the service sold the service. And so I had a customer fly me all the way down from New Hampshire when I lived up, flew me all the way down to Tampa. And I had big meetings with them. Just, you know why? Even though I worked with them for a little bit, but I made a bid for all their business. Because they would still, you know, I would book about 20% of their business, $250,000 a month. But I would lose, 75% of their business to other brokers. And it wasn't because I couldn't handle it. It wasn't because I wasn't quoting correctly. It's because I was capped at $250,000 a month. I didn't have any time left in my day. So I came down and I did a freight audit. And I'm not going to explain that. It takes too long. But I did a freight audit on all their freight for a 90-day period. And I kept track of every single rate I paid. And then I looked at everything and I said, okay, I can successfully, I can book all their freight. And I needed to make 4.72% on each load profit is what I needed to make in order for me to justify hiring three other people and generate profit. 4.72% in order to, and that would allow me on every single load. So if their line haul was $1,200, add 4.whatever%. That incorporated taking losses on loads. That incorporated underselling some loads that were better lanes that I knew I would be able to cover quite a bit easier. And so it worked out to me making 4.72% of $1 million a month in freight revenue. Long story short, I went down there, flew down there. They bought me lunch. We did all this stuff, showed me the office. We had all these meetings and I told them exactly how I would do it. And they said, all right, cool, thanks. And they hired other people to do it in office. Scumbags. But that's always my problem is I tell people how to do stuff and then think, you know, ask any business owners I talk to. You guys know who you are. You watch my videos, but they'll call and they'll be like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And I'm like, 2 hours later, I'm like, you know, I should have made you, you know, pay me consulting fee or something first. There's a lot of them. And that's why I'm pretty adamant about after I do these shows, I don't do much consult or much free talk. I said, one, I'm too busy, and two, just devaluing myself. But yeah, Kurt said, we need more brokers like you then. Cut through the BS and get the load move. A lot of people are like me. I just think they're not on Facebook. You know, everyone has brokers that they work with and they like. And it's, hold on. Yeah, it's whole thing is crazy. This industry is crazy. All right, Timothy said it's breaking up really bad. Yeah, it's probably because I'm tired and tired of talking. What I would say, guys, if you've never been to Freight Broker Live, go over to it. You're going to see a little bell or seeing a little alert, and it says, do you want to be notified if something happens or whatever? Click yes on that, because what that'll do is eventually when I do like a live late night show or something like this, I'll send out a blast. If I have any breaking news going forward, and I'm working on one about a big mega brokerage who stiffed 30 to 40 employees when they sold that branch, I'm working on that story. If I can get that story and it's good, We'll do that. Apparently, I'm having issues with my internet, so this audio may be choppy, and I apologize. There's nothing I can do about that. Make sure you check out freightbrokerlive.com. Make sure you download my podcast, like freightbrokerlive.com, and follow, and you'll get notifications every time I go live. All that stuff. See you guys later. Bye.